and welcome to Lunchtime Movie Critics. I'm Nancy.
And I'm Wayne.
Today we're using our lunch break, whatever you want to call it, to talk about the 1944 classic Once Upon a Time, starring the one and only Cary Grant.
Inimitable.
Yes. In the opening credits, it talks about it's a fairy tale and they want to pass this yarn to you. And I did kind of think, you know, it was filmed in 1944. We are in the midst of World War II. It hasn't ended yet. So, you know, this could be a happy, fun movie. Yeah. And it is.
Surprisingly. For the time.
What did you think?
I loved it. I thought it was... Cary Grant, in my opinion, is kind of like a caricature of an actor. I mean, he's so... Everything I've ever seen him in, he's so over the top.
That's a great way to describe him. He is so over the top in this movie. Yeah. Starting with the biggest scrapbook known to man in the opening scene. So he's
It almost looks like a scene out of like a children's show.
Right.
Where they open the storybook and it's like 4 feet tall. Not quite.
Yeah. No, he's sitting at his desk. He's this failing theater owner. They just had a terrible show. And he's reminiscing.
Four terrible shows,
right,
I think, right?
In a row. Yeah. And he's reminiscing about the good old days of his theater. And he has this scrapbook that I don't know what the dimensions would be, but probably like a foot and a half by 3 feet. Like, it is big. And so he turns this page with like his whole arm. I wish you could see me right now. I'm making a lot of hand motions. So the bank examiner after this show comes in and, you know, he's a good bank examiner. He's like, the theater is ours if you don't give us $100,000 in a week.
And he had this like kind of evil laugh that he's like,
short, chubby man that you just are like, oh, you're not very nice. But Cary Grant's reaction is so Cary Grant.
Oh yeah, it was great.
Right?
Yeah, he kind of starts creating another show or the premise for another show to this bank manager,
right,
who gets super interested.
Right. And so that's about 6 minutes in, and this is the quote that I chose. What does the public need in tough times like these? Escape, and escape through beauty. I hope I did it justice.
It was pretty good.
And another quote that I pulled out. They're walking down those spiral stairs that he has in his office, you know, that goes down to like the green room.
Yeah.
And he says, I get lonely when I can't hear myself talk.
I noted that too. I love that line. I love that. I'm going to use that. And I'm going to say it just like my Cary Grant if I can. You
know, right.
I'm going to be like, I get lonely if I can't hear myself talk.
Oh, goodness. So now he's outside of his theater and he's trying to figure out, you know, how to save the Flynn Theater, because the character's last name is Flynn. And so he's polishing the letters, and he throws a nickel over his shoulder, and that's when we're introduced to
the Pinky.
Pinky. The little boy.
Fatso. That would never fly today.
No, not at all. So Pinky has this caterpillar, and the poor thing, because I'm just watching this box get thrown around, I'm like, that could have... Obviously, the box is the prop, and there's not a real caterpillar in it. Spoiler alert, sorry.
Well, we don't know. We never see it, but...
You never see the caterpillar, which I'm a little bit disappointed. I never see the caterpillar, but at the same time...
I thought you'd at least see, like a silhouette of the caterpillar, but...
Right, okay. But you don't. Yeah. Now, this is 1944. Animation's not great, but we do have, you know, some, like, Walt Disney and the animation, which...
I want to talk a little bit about that at the end.
We'll get to Disney later. But yeah, I felt bad for the poor little caterpillar being thrown around in a box. And one note I did make is that when he looks through the box, Pinky says that you can watch him dance, you know, and he starts playing his music and the caterpillar dances. Mm-hmm. that you can tell Flynn is crazy because he gets completely excited about a caterpillar that is dancing.
Right.
Because
right.
I'd be like, almost oh, immediately. That's cute.
Almost immediately.
But no, the man is like obsessed.
Right.
The kid, he's nuts. He's just nuts. But obviously, this is a fairy tale because seriously, selling a caterpillar for a fortune is completely unrealistic.
Yeah.
Even back then. I don't know many people who would buy a dancing caterpillar.
Me neither.
I don't
Barnum.
Know.
Barnum would have. P.T. Yeah. Barnum.
Yeah. P.T. Barnum. Another good movie, but
it is.
Besides the point. So, did you have any notes about that point of the movie?
So, one thing I thought of was, I was thinking of similarities between this movie and other stories.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, the first one that I get with the whole theater going under was successful. There's two, actually.
Okay.
One is the producers.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
You know, he's just
classic.
He was great, but now he's flop after flop, and he's losing everything. Number two was Sing, the cartoon.
Yes! My boys love that movie.
Yeah, wasn't he like Eddie Moon or something was the name of the... whatever his name was, the koala.
Mr. Moon.
Mr.
Moon. All I can remember.
And his
him
theater
as, yes,
is going under, and he doesn't want
to
lose it.
The Moon Theater.
He was in many ways Cary Grant's character.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Which, you know, this was filmed obviously in 1944, and Sing came out in like, what, 2015, something like
yeah.
that. I don't remember yeah. the exact year. But, you know, there's a lot of corresponding things
oh, yeah.
to that movie and yeah. this one that we're discussing.
Mm-hmm. So that's all I was going to say is I just noticed these similarities.
Mm-hmm.
I'll mention another one near the end.
Okay.
It'll
okay.
make more sense at the end.
All right. So one thing that I pointed out was, so Flynn is chasing these boys trying to get this caterpillar, and they run into Pinky's sister.
Mm-hmm.
And
we should also mention first that the caterpillar only dances to one song,
which is annoying by the end of the movie.
What was it called? I don't remember the name of the song.
Yes, Sir, That's My Baby.
Right. and he even asks him, like, have you tried other songs? And he's like, oh yeah, I've tried lots of songs. He only likes this one. So anyway, I'm sorry, the sister.
So we meet the sister, and of course, she's number one in show business, and number two, gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
So you're
yeah.
like,
oh, yeah.
Flynn's gonna end up with her.
Wow.
Like, it's just obvious. Gotta throw a little romance in there. But yeah, she's in show business. And I expected to hear that, you know, she's in show business, so she's uh-huh. gonna try and use that connection to Mr. Flynn to try and
right.
build up her career.
Yeah.
But obviously, he's such a bad theater owner and producer mm-hmm. that she doesn't even try to do that throughout the movie.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Might be why she didn't. Yeah. I kind of did think that's where it was going, and it didn't.
I thought so,
but,
too. And then it didn't, but anyway.
It's okay. So this point happens where he invites Pinky to his house, which is basically like
a hotel room. Right. He's
yeah.
just
because that was common back then, I think.
Yeah. It's kind of like a flat.
Yeah, exactly. Because you could afford to pay a lot for a hotel room. I guess. And he asks the kid what he wants for breakfast, and he's like a hot dog with all of the fixins on it, and he says, do you always have that for breakfast?
Uh-huh.
And the kid says, no, that's why I want to have it now. Which I thought was really cute. Super innocent and cute.
So cute.
Yeah.
Moke. We got to talk about Moke.
Oh, I really liked Moke.
Moke is probably my favorite character in this
yeah.
whole movie because...
He was great.
He's kind of like Flynn's moral guide.
Right.
You know?
He's
the devil and the angel on the shoulder kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking like Jiminy Cricket. Like
yeah,
the,
or
yeah.
like Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah.
And he's questionable at like the beginning. You're like,
sure.
This guy did some shady stuff. Like, he's walking that line real
yeah.
hard. And so like when he first sees the dancing worm, he's like, all I could see was a worm.
He doesn't have the vision.
No. And I just really related with Moke at
yeah.
that moment. I'm like, yeah, that's about what I would probably say.
Oh,
like,
it's a worm.
It's a worm. And it's a wiggling. Cool.
But I think at that point, Cary Grant or Jerry Flynn says, "Caterpillars come and go, but this one's got talent."
Yeah. I forgot about that line. Yeah. Yes. Yes. And so the whole point is that Flynn is trying to buy this caterpillar, mm-hmm. and he's using Pinky, and he's trying to get his $100,000 to save his theater. Mm-hmm. So he invites all of the media, all of the newspaper reporters in New York, mm-hmm. to his apartment to write about this caterpillar. Mm-hmm. So that was, like, none of the reporters look in the box.
No.
None of them take a chance because they're thinking what I'm thinking. This is really stupid.
Sure, sure. There is one comment that one of the reporters makes as he's leaving, like, about if this caterpillar got in a plane and bombed our enemies, then you'd have a story. Doesn't he say something about that?
Something about that. Yeah. Because we are in the middle of a war. Sure. So, like, the newspapers are like, "You're not a war correspondent. Right. What do we care?" So anyway, then, you know, Pinky gets upset because nothing is happening and he runs off and he right. yells at Mr. Flynn and he goes, "This is the wrongest thing you've ever done in your life."
Was it Pinky who said that?
Yes. This okay. is the wrongest thing you've done in your life.
He says, "Have you ever done anything wrong?" Well, like a question. "Have you ever done anything wrong? Well, this is the wrongest thing you've ever done yeah. in your life." I couldn't remember yeah. if it was Moke or Pinky. So
no, it was Pinky. Okay. And I felt bad for that kid. Because, one, I mean, he's being used. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't know it. Because right. he's a sweet, innocent child. Right. And
orphan.
Orphan, too. Orphan. He's
being
like
raised
Annie.
By his sister. Because he's, yeah.
And so, yeah, he's an orphan. And Mr. Flynn's trying to use him. But then... by chance, you know, because this is the 40s. It's total luck. This big radio guy yeah. who does a show overhears everything mm-hmm. and he decides to feature the story. Mm-hmm. He describes this whole, like, fairy tale and it makes it sound really incredible.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely the... you know, like, I don't know, Rod Serling, or I can't
right.
think of anybody else, but somebody who, like, everybody listens to, and he's a like a beautiful storyteller.
So. Yeah, beautiful storyteller with a very nice, calming voice. Mm. Not like Morgan Freeman level, but it's really good.
Sure, for the time, especially.
Right. And, like, one of the things that I noticed was the producer's face as he's reading this storyteller, like, or...
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, the radio guy is reading this story out loud, and he just makes this face all contorted, like, "What is this?"
Like, seriously?
This great story, dude. All right, I guess.
Yeah, he thought, you could tell he thought this was silly, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He thought it was silly. But after that radio spot airs, mm-hmm. after that story... Suddenly, the caterpillar, which, by the way, is named Curly.
Oh, right. That's
we haven't mentioned yep. his name.
Curly.
Curly becomes this phenomenon.
Yeah.
And they want to make Curly cookies and all this stuff. And mm-hmm. in my mind, I'm thinking, instead of trying to sell the caterpillar for a fortune, why don't you just get paid for Curly cookies?
Merchandise. Yes.
Exactly. In Spaceballs.
Right.
Merchandising.
Coily the flamethrower. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Spaceballs the lunchbox. Anyway.
So it
that's what went through my mind.
Was it the radio guy who made the comment about Fred Astaire of the insect world?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought. That's what I thought.
I totally didn't write that down. Oh, I wish I had. That's a great note. Fred Astaire of the insect world.
Oh, totally. Well, and the other thing up to this point that I noticed and thought was interesting, just stereotypical interesting, uh-huh. was, for the time, was, did you notice all the police officers were Irish?
No!
Yeah.
No
way! They all had Irish accents. Which is, you know, this common, like, in the 20s, 30s, mm-hmm. 40s, whatever, you know, Irish police officers, so...
Wow, yeah. I did not...
Maybe not all of them, but I did notice at least one had an Irish, very thick Irish accent.
Interesting.
Yeah.
No, I didn't notice that at all.
No.
Anyway, we're about halfway through the movie, so we're going to take a little bit of a break here, and there'll be more after the break. All right, so halfway through the movie, we discussed Fred Astaire of the insect world.
Right.
And one of the things that I heard after, you know, one of the quotes that I pulled out at about 32 minutes in was, he has music appreciation like a real human being.
Oh, yeah.
And I did think to myself, then why doesn't he like any other songs?
That's true. Yeah, I thought that too. Who said that? I don't remember.
I don't know. I didn't make a note of it, but I thought it was great.
Well, you're going to have to watch so you can see that one thing.
Yes. So, should we bring up Disney now?
Well, so just a couple of other things like about this point that I noticed is the kid is playing the harmonica throughout the movie and playing that song.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not all the time, but he always plays that same song. And at one point, right about the middle of the movie, he becomes, I don't know, John Popper from Blues Traveler or something, and he's plays more of the song. I think they're like walking out of the hotel room or something, and it goes into a little more detail in the song. And I'm like, you could market the kid. The kid is one heck of a harmonica player, you know?
Yeah, and obviously he knows more songs because he tried more songs with Curly.
Exactly.
And he didn't dance.
Like Jingle Bells, he mentions. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Anyway, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, so like this whole movie, the whole time I'm watching, I'm thinking, there's so many ways to get out of your little pickle with the bank.
Right.
Dude.
Of course, $100,000. Isn't that what he owed?
$100,000
in 1940 was probably like $10 million.
Man. I
mean, I
can't imagine.
Astronomical amounts.
Right? So.
So the, you were talking about the curly cookies and stuff.
Yes.
One thing, my partner laughed pretty hard at this, was they were painting Curly, a cartoon version of Curly, on the front of one of the fighter planes.
On one of the fighter planes.
And she was like, ah! So he became this, like, American sensation.
Right. He's he's everywhere, including overseas, helping us fight the war. The war. So, he has a lot of opportunities to capitalize on both Curly and Pinky.
Mm-hmm.
However, the biggest, most intriguing thing was that Mr. Disney, the Walt Disney, wants to buy the Dancing Caterpillar.
For $100,000.
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
That's not until the end.
Oh, okay, right.
Because he goes, like, really? That much? No, thank you. Like, the representative for Mr. Disney was, I'll pass.
Yep. So Flynn tells Moak that he's got to sell, he's got to get Curly and sell him, like bring him to Mr. Disney or whatever and sell him. And he is so overcome with grief over the fact that he has to do this. I love this scene that he gets rip-roaring drunk.
Oh, that is such a good scene. Okay, so I love Moak.
Yeah, he was great.
Like we said, he's probably the best character. And such a good actor. This is a really well-produced movie.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Sure, sure.
You've got Cary Grant, who's over the top all the time anyway. And the kid is a really good actor.
He is. Yeah.
And Moak is a really good actor, who plays him. I don't know.
Yeah, but, they were great.
Yeah, they're great. And I think this is about the time... Oh, wait. It's the argument before he sells it. I wanted to bring that up.
Argument between Moak and Flynn?
No, between Flynn and Pinky's sister.
Oh, okay.
So one thing she says that I really appreciate it, because she totally saw right through Flynn's BS, is, I can see the beauty in him, but it's not to be cheapened by a bunch of ballyhoo. It belongs to that little boy's world. And I went, aww. You're right.
Yeah. And I love the word ballyhoo.
Oh, yes. I'm going to use it now.
I really like
that. Yeah. That's a, you know, watching these old movies expands your vocabulary.
Oh, absolutely.
Interesting words. Also, she ran with knives. And I thought, don't run with that giant knife.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
She
ran. A big chef's knife, too. Yeah.
A huge knife. Yeah.
So can I ask, because just to refresh my memory, somebody says, this miracle has been stepped upon. Squish, squash.
That's the professor.
Oh, right.
Remember, they want to dissect the caterpillar.
Right.
And, you know, it was one of the newspaper guys brought in these professors from this university, and they were studying, you know, Curly and...
What makes him dance and appreciate music.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, yeah, yes, squish, squash. Mm-hmm. That was a great, great quote in there. Mm-hmm. The professors, while they're looking at him, they say, extraordinary chitinization. Do you remember that line?
No.
They're looking at him and they're like, extraordinary chitinization. And I think Pinky goes, what does that mean? And Moat goes, it means extraordinary chitinization. And I go, what does that mean? And
nobody really knows.
Nobody knows.
It's crazy scientists.
Unless you're an insect professor.
Sure, sure.
So, yes. The whole time I'm thinking, like, we're getting further into the movie, and I'm going, well, it's caterpillar. This thing's got to be a butterfly soon.
Right? Like, I'm thinking nobody thought of this.
Like, nobody thought of that?
Yeah.
So, eventually Mr. Flynn agrees to terms with Mr. Disney on $100,000. And Moak, as you brought up, is so distraught about stealing Curly from Pinky to take to L.A. that he gets plastered. Like, he is...
Before he goes to do the deed
of taking
Curly.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Which, obviously, hilarity ensues.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
And
misadventures.
Right. And so, like, Pinky leaves, obviously, because Moak is so drunk that he passed out.
Right on his bed.
Like,
yep.
Right on Pinky's bed. And Pinky's like, all right, I'm gonna leave now. And Pinky goes home. And then they lose Curly. Mr. Flynn comes and tries to take Curly away from Pinky and slaps him. And
yeah.
Yeah.
That was rough.
That was sad.
Yeah, you feel
but
really
his,
bad.
His face is that face every parent makes after they, like, yell at their kid.
Sure.
Or
sure.
Spank their kid or something. They're like, oh, that was a terrible error. That was exactly how Flynn's face looked.
Yeah.
And Pinky tells him, you're a mean man.
Classic 1940s.
Yes.
Very clean.
I never want to be like you because you are a mean man, Mr. Flynn. And I was like, yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Like, you're cheering for Pinky this whole time because you just know.
Right.
Like, no, you don't deserve to save your theater.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Yeah. You're not worthy. Yeah.
And then the line, yep, this miracle has been stepped upon. Squish, squash. And then there's a scene of these 9-year-old boys, Pinky and Fatso, drinking coffee.
Right. Well, they have a whole, like, club. There's, like, a whole club
of
these.
Yes, the curly club.
Right.
Right? But Pinky resigns as president of the Curly Club.
It's kind of like Little Rascals.
And goes and gets a drink of coffee.
Right.
And he says, I'll make mine black. And I'm thinking, 9-year-olds drinking coffee. Like, I didn't like coffee until I was...
He's had to grow up a lot in the last, you know, few minutes.
In the last 30 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the banker, this was just completely unrealistic, and you know it's a fairy tale. Mm-hmm. When the banker comes to the theater... Mm-hmm. And says, it's yours.
Yeah, I want to surprise you, Flynn. I'm giving you your theater.
No. What banker is really going to do that?
Well, right.
thought you were telling me I was wrong. No, that's what happened.
No, that's what happened. But, like, seriously.
Like, that would never happen.
That would never happen. Yeah. Like, that bank examiner would be fired.
Yeah.
Like, the board would be like, no, that's our theater now.
It's 1940s for you.
Simpler times.
Right? I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought that was, like, what? And Mr. Flynn is still just so depressed, even though he got his theater back.
Mm-hmm.
Because he misses Pinky, but the Curly Club is here to save the day.
Right. So they're all searching for Curly.
They're all searching for Curly.
Right. Right.
And they have to bring Mr. Flynn and Pinky back together.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Curly Club saves the day, forces Mr. Flynn to go to Pinky's house. And you can totally tell Pinky's sister's got a crush. Like, she's crushing hardcore.
Oh, yeah.
On Mr. Flynn.
Yeah, yeah.
For a while. She's like, yeah, come on in. So he sits down at the piano and starts playing that song, and a butterfly magically appears.
What? I have in my notes here, animated butterfly! Because it's animated!
It is! It's the best animation that 1944 could offer.
That's actually not true, but...
No?
No, I'll tell you in a minute.
Oh, yay!
So yeah, animated butterfly! And then Pinky, he's like, we found Curly! He tells Pinky, we found Curly, and he's like, where? And there's this severe look on his face, I noticed. When he goes, there! In like the strings of the piano, yeah.
Yes.
So one of my favorite lines in the whole movie is right at the end when they see the animated butterfly and Flynn says, yes, a butterfly. That's one of the miracles of life, son. Fantastic. Now he belongs to the world. That's the other thing he says.
Yes, yes. When he leaves and they're like, now he belongs to the world. And scene. Like, mm-hmm. That's it. That's all, folks. It's done.
Camera pans out. Music plays.
Yep, yeah, and great. The beautiful writing of the end comes up.
So my other thought about the parallels of this movie...
Oh, we'll always remember him.
Oh, right, well, yeah.
That
yeah.
line, that is the last line.
That actually. Goes along with the...
Yes.
He belongs to the world.
Yes.
We'll always remember him. Because
good
of
movie.
This movie. It was. Seriously, it was a great movie.
It's a great movie.
I loved it.
It's a great movie. I think it's a... I'm just going to watch it once.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I don't think I'll watch it again.
And remember it fondly. Now, this one is on Amazon Prime.
Yes.
So, if you have Amazon Prime, you can watch it there. I wanted to say that the other movie parallel, or story parallel, was A Christmas Carol for me.
Oh, that change of Mr.
Yeah.
Flynn?
Yeah.
From, like, Ebenezer Scrooge to, like,
exactly.
He really doesn't care about his theater. He just right. cares about Pinky and, you know.
And he's got these
softening
people.
Softening these hearts.
Yeah, and he's got, like, his Jiminy Cricket, the Moke, you know, that's kind
oh,
of
yeah.
trying to,
yeah.
you know, suggest that he do good, but he's not.
Like,
but, yeah.
Bob Marley is trying.
Yeah, well, I mean, like...
Robert Marley. not Bob Marley. My goodness. It's been a long day already.
Yeah, no
you know,
worries. No
it's lunchtime on Thursday, tomorrow's Friday.
So the whole, you said animation of the 1940s.
Yes.
Okay.
What is
so I looked this up because I was curious. I was thinking this has to be one of the first times they mixed live action and animation. No.
No?
No, it goes back 20 years before that.
No way.
In the 20s and 30s, in the 20s there was a, there were these silent films
mm-hmm.
that had animation and live, yeah. In some silent films. I mean, Google it. It exists. But in the 40s, the first sort of talkie movie, you know, that had animation and live action was You Ought to Be in Pictures, which had this black duck kind of like Daffy Duck.
Okay.
And I think he's trying... I haven't seen the movie.
You haven't seen it?
But I think he's trying to get into the movie business. And so he's got this very sad... In the pictures I saw, he
right.
has this very sassy... Daffy Duck kind of
yeah.
to him, on
yeah.
the guy's desk, like squawking at him, you know. Yeah.
Well, that's fascinating. No, yeah. I thought this was one. It had to be one of the first times.
No, and in fact, there's a Gene Kelly movie that has Gene Kelly dancing with an animated mouse, and that came out after this. That came out in like
really?
I think that was. Oh, I don't know. I saw the date, but I don't remember now.
Oh,
but that
God.
Came out after this.
Gotta love Gene Kelly.
Yeah.
I do like his movies.
Oh, yeah. No, he's great, too.
Great. I love old movies, so that's why I thought for my first one, it's got to be a corny old movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is really a sweet movie. If you haven't seen it yet, obviously it's available on Amazon Prime. And
how many caterpillars would you rate this movie?
How many caterpillars? Oh, that's a good one. Out of 5?
Whatever you want.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's go 3.25.
3.25 out of 5?
Out of 5.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know. What were you thinking?
I would go at least 4.
At
personally.
Least 4.
I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
It had a lot of heart.
It did have a lot of heart.
Yeah.
It did. I think for me, like, the song started to get so irritating that I was like, please don't play that.
And like, Curly would be so much more impressive if he could dance to more than one song.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. No. So that's why I had to bring it down a little bit, because the song is just like so irritating toward the end for me.
It is. Yeah, yeah. I totally agree. Yeah. But it is a great movie well worth the watch.
It is. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'd better get back to work.
Yeah, probably. All right. Oh, and our next show is going to be a complete mystery to everyone, including us, because our good friend and
colleague
Medward, it's not his given name,
nope.
is he's not with us, obviously, today, and we haven't been able to find out what his pick is going to be.
Yes,
so.
And it's his pick this time around, so hopefully we'll find out soon.
Yeah, and expect something terrible.
And oh, yes, it's going to be awful.
Yeah.
But it should be fun.
Yeah. All right, so until right. next time.
Let's get back to work.
Yeah. Thank you.